Welcome to Raising the New Earth. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Noah. We are both mothers and holistic nutritionists, health coaches here to share our experiences and engage in new perspectives in health, food, nature, consciousness, and spirituality, all through the greater lens of motherhood.
This podcast is here to call us to higher levels of consciousness and tap into a greater potential for ourselves, our children, and humanity as a whole. We explore the role we can individually and collectively play to birth, nourish, and co-create a more beautiful world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Raising the New Earth podcast. I'm your host, Noah Dory, and today is another bite-sized episode about mental health. I chose anorexia and bulimia as the episode for today. So the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition, or in short, DSM-5, defines eating disorders as mental illness. Eating disorders include anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder, and OSFED, other specified feeding or eating disorders. So as a nutritionist, as a mental health nutritionist and sports nutritionist, I have seen many, many cases, hundreds of cases of both young adults and teens battling eating disorders. Eating disorders is not a strange and foreign territory. For me, I was a former ballet dancer. And when you are in your teens trying to pursue a career and your teacher throws a remark at you, you take it very seriously. And when I was 14, 15, and my body has started shaping into, you know, out of the boyish like physiques and into the beautiful feminine vessel that I so appreciate today, you try to fight it. If that is what is, if that is what the recommendation is by your peers and people that you look up to. And so when my body started changing, I was fighting it by really not eating. So I experienced a lot of restricted eating. You know, I lived on an orange for like 3 days. Only later in life, when I was able to find my confidence, I realized that, you know, instead of me trying to fit into their idea of what a thin body is for ballet, I should just seek a different form of dance. And, you know, so then I started dancing ballet dancing and flamenco and lyrical jazz. And all of a sudden my world has changed and I have managed to find my path. But I say this to my clients, and I say this on this podcast because I believe we all have body issues. We all have body issues, men and women alike. I was amazed by how many men felt the pressure to look a certain way, to build more muscles, to have a better body image of themselves. I was really taken back because I was not aware of that being of any issue with the, you know, with men. So I'm thankful for that experience. As far as the chakras, we look at the seventh and final chakra, the crown chakra, as the seat of the top of the skull. And this chakra is the connector of our human bodies to the field of universal intelligence. We consider this chakra as the seat of pure consciousness. And it's correlated with the neocortex, the pineal gland, and the thalamic gate. An unbalanced chakra, crown chakra, is associated with mental health and depression. When it is balanced, it serves as the bridge into a field of pure being, happiness, and intelligence. So in my work with eating disorder clients, there were two books that I often referred back to. One of them is called Intuitive Eating. It's by Evelyn and Elise. And another book is by Janine Roth, When Food is Love. And as far as intuitive eating concerns, I actually, some it's really case to case. It's a case to case approach because many of the clients that I saw at the mental health facility came after they were already admitted and hospitalized in a different facility. So they already came with some sort of trauma. It is, if you've ever heard about these facilities, it is not a pleasant experience. It is, and it is hard not to get readmitted for those eating disorders again. And many, many, many of the clients that I saw were those that were hospitalized and then came to that private mental health facility that I work with the same eating disorder. And so it's really, really important that when we speak to our children, we are very cautious about the words that we use. I don't use good or bad. I never use fat. I never use the idea of self-image as being something that looks better or worse. I'm very cautious with my words, and I was very cautious with my words, and I still am with my eating disorder clients, because knowing their personal stories, knowing that, a word that was tossed at them by a parent saying you look fat in these jeans have planted the seed for that particular person to grow up and have an eating disorder and try to commit suicide because of that low self-image is a no-no. So first, I want to urge you parents to please, please, please consider your words and not let your insecurities blend into your child's beautiful, perfect self. Okay, that would be the first thing that I would say. I can't tell you how many stories I heard about my mom said this and my dad said that, and still, they still carry it with them in their 30s and 40s. It's a really hard thing to shake off if you don't have the confidence from the inside out and the gratitude for that perfect being that we all are. So I want to start with that. Now, two books I often refer to was Intuitive Eating by Evelyn and Elise and When Food is Love by Janine Roth. Now, as far as intuitive eating concerns, the reason why I say it's case to case basis, because some of those clients, some of the people are so afraid of food, believing that food is the enemy, that you really just want them to eat something. Yeah. I mean, you really just want them to start a relationship of trust and love with the food that they eat. And so you say you work on the hunger cues and you work on the full cues, and you want them to get back in tune with their body because they have been disconnected from that feeling for so long that they don't even know when they're hungry anymore. And so quite often, honestly, I would recommend them eating something that is less than ideal to serve the purpose of them eating something. Now, if the case is not that extreme and the person has been, let's say, 5 years or 10 years have passed by since they had the eating disorder, then in that case, I would really give them the knowledge of how to make food their ally. And not so much, not to lean that hard on intuitive eating. So personally, for me, intuitive eating semi works, mostly does not work. I mean, everything that I recommend my clients, I tried myself first. And so when I tried intuitive eating, I ate everything and anything. It's not for me, but some people it does work for them. So when I say intuitive eating, that means if your body craves sweets, It's most likely not the candy that you want to reach for. It is the glycogen deficiency. So it means fruit. If your body feels fatigue, you don't have to reach for that chocolate or whatever else you have in your eyesight, but you can reach for fruit. So that is intuitive eating, but a knowledgeable intuitive eating. Or when your body craves chips, it most likely does not crave the chips, but it craves some salt. So you can give it, you know, by giving your body the mineral salts that it's lacking. And that's what I mean, as opposed to intuitive eating. Oh, I feel like having Cheetos, so I'm going to have the whole bag of Cheetos. That's the uneducated intuitive eating. But your body always tells you something, and so you have to listen and try to figure out, what is my body trying to tell me, right? So that is what I mean by, you know, knowledgeable intuitive eating. So with my clients, what I was trying to emphasize is circadian rhythms. I was trying to emphasize the release of hormones and neurotransmitters such as GABA and serotonin by being more connected to nature and sunlight, to have that natural SSRI to possibly replace the prescribed SSRI, to move their bodies. Workout is now considered one of the best medicine against depression and anxiety, just working out and accessing that parasympathetic nervous system, having that mindful eating system. So when you sit down, you connect to the food, you bless the food in whatever language or spiritual upbringing that you have, connect to the food that is here for you, for your well-being, lowering the amount of processed foods, handling the toxic heavy metals through different protocols, both cells and gut supplements, community, have a sense of community, knowing that they're not alone, increase the self-worth, breath work, again, for the parasympathetic nervous system, and that soil interaction, that healthy microbiome to a healthy mitochondria. So specifically, let's talk right now about the mind-gut connection, food-mood connection. Many, many times, more often than not, I would have my clients do a food mood journal, what they ate, how it made them feel, and why they ate it. This way they could sit down with the data in front of them and see what made them seek that piece of XYZ, where in fact what they wanted to seek was a hug, where in fact what they wanted to have is a friend. So many times I see people open the fridge back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I say, the answer is not in the fridge. Half jokingly, the answer is not in the fridge, because the answer is not in the fridge. So if you are not in a, if you know, if you're raised in a family where you have, you know, some money and roof over your head, then the answer could be in a community and going outside and connecting with your friends. So you have to understand that 95% of our serotonin and 50% of our dopamine is actually made in the gut. So that gut bacteria also sends peptides that send hunger and inflammation signals, which is really good news, because it means that the brain is not really in control of our mood and cravings. It is the gut. So it starts with certain foods, supplements, meaning if the gut is in charge, then we can change it through good food and actions. So basically what that tells us is that the more processed food we eat, the more depressed we can be, because there's no live enzymes to it. There's no, you know, and if you look at it spiritually, the way that the food is made in a laboratory with food scientists trying to figure out what would make you more addicted to that food so you can't stop eating them, there's no love involved. It's not like someone cooked the food for you. It's not like it was, you know, grown in soil and, you know, be made with such intention that you can really feel that reviving your body. It's not part of the procedure when it comes to laboratory food, right? So we know that large share, possibly by the majority, is is governed by the majority of our cravings. Inflammation, hunger signals come from the microbiome. And things like eating probiotic food daily and eating real food seem to really activate the insula of the brain that help while we work on all the other things. So coconut water is a great hydrating hydrating drink that you can always bring when you feel you lack hydration. Specifically when it comes to anorexia, fruit is critical for bringing back organs that are atrophied with somebody with anorexia. Anorexia is also looked at as a mercury problem, heavy metals. Some anorexia is driven by a really intense emotional experience, some kind of abuse, something happened. And the other 10% or less is an emotional trauma that happened to the brain that then causes emotional scarring in the brain itself on a physical level, not just a soul level. And when it comes to bulimia, both bulimia and anorexia, 90% of the cause is heavy metal toxicity to the brain. And Anthony William talks extensively about that. It's really fascinating. But most mercury inside the brain came from, you know, some sort of from childhood or from pre-source in the womb or even before the parents. So it's like inherited through generations and generations of heavy metal toxicity. And that glucose deficiency we talked about before is driven by the consumption of processed foods when all they really need is increasing their fruit intake. So ditch the fruit fear. Like this is the right kind of sugar that your body actually needs. It is the natural, it desperately needs that. If you think about 90% of your brain is made from glycogen, glucose in fruit. So you know that the natural sugars in fresh fruits and starchy vegetables contain what is the body needs, which is the healing glucose. And by supporting those neurotransmitters, you can help starve off some of the addictions, including food addictions of some sort, because running off adrenaline all day may cause some desired weight loss. I see all those that are, you know, they want to lose weight, but over time, that adrenaline rushing through your body can burn out your adrenals and create and even worsen other serious health conditions. So consequently, you may experience adrenal fatigue 5 to 10 years after you attempt a longer term low carbohydrate diet. So for my clients with anorexia and bulimia and any sort of eating disorders, I always look at it and I see that it's a combination of toxic heavy metals in the brain and an addiction to the adrenaline that surges each time an eating disorder is acted on. So that binge, that purge is an adrenaline kick that the body and the brain gets used to. And your brain and liver, you have to remind yourself, they need the glucose from fruits and vegetables to survive and thrive. And so if you swap your treats, your processed treats, for healthy glucose-rich foods such as, you know, dates and apples and raw honey, your brain will start to receive that kind of sugar that it needs. And then your addiction to the wrong kind of sugar will likely subside. So I would always recommend my clients to carry a bag of dates and dried sulfur-free apricots or figs. It can really help with the cravings when you're out. We're going to talk momentarily about adrenal snacks. Omega-3s. Omega-3s are super important, but receiving them from the right source is critical for proper glucose absorption in the body. So there is a misinformation that the brain is largely made of fat, but this is really false. The brain is largely made out of carbohydrates. We just talked about it, glycogen. And it contains those micro deposits of fats, only micro deposits of fats. And those micro deposits are made of omega-3s and other oils, many of which the medical science world has yet to discover. And you can get the omega-3s and all the other microfats you need from watermelon seeds, hemp seeds, butter leaf lettuce, blackberry seeds, sesame seeds, tahini, tomato seeds, and more, along with, if you wish to source it from EPA, DHA, clean, clean, clean source. But those are the things that you want to keep in your body, in your diet. And you do want to keep your fats low in your diet so that the glucose can easily enter your cells. You know, it doesn't matter what you're a meat eater, pescatarian, vegetarian, or vegan. So when it comes to my clients that are by now fatigued, adrenally fatigued, and were used to having such an adrenal kick by, you know, having bulimia, anorexia, or binging or restricting, we have to remember that we got to protect our adrenals very much so. And we have to nurture them in order to heal any chronic symptoms, including the blood sugar issues and hair loss, addictions, low libido, and so much more. So a fantastic way that I recommend my clients to provide lots of adrenal support is by eating every 1.5 to 2 hours. So when I have a bipolar client that also struggles with some low self-esteem, or I have an eating disorder client, the first thing I recommend is eating every 1.5 to 2 hours, balanced adrenal snacks as well. So in between your large meals of the days, you can grab those snacks, and it can change. It doesn't have to be 1.5 to 2 hours. It can be every hour to 1.5 hours, depending on the condition of that individual. So what happens is that this type of balanced diet helps keep your blood sugar levels steady throughout the day so that your adrenals don't have to interfere. And by doing that, you're really giving them a chance to restore themselves and to rest. Ideally, those adrenal snacks should be a balance of potassium, sodium, and natural glucose, i.e. from fruits, to help your body combat that processed sugar cravings. We must fuel our brain with real sugar, fructose. So some examples of adrenal combating snacks can be date, which is potassium, celery sticks, sodium, and apples, glucose. This is actually my favorite snack that I take for long days. You can also do avocado, potassium, spinach, sodium, oranges, glucose, sweet potato, same thing, potassium, parsley, lemon squeezed, and squeeze some lemon on kale, which is your glucose. Dates, banana, romaine lettuce, coconut water, banana, spinach, pear, greens, and berries. Berries, raw honey, and some sort of green juice. So I have to say something about raw honey. A lot of people are, you know, like to stay away from sugar, raw honey included. But raw honey has a highly absorbable sugar and B12 coenzymes that make it one of the most absolutely powerful brain foods. So I call dates and raw honey my brain fuel foods. Plus, you have to remember that raw honey does repair DNA, and it is extremely high in minerals, important minerals like potassium and calcium and zinc and selenium, phosphorus, chromium, and manganese. So I highly recommend, if you do, you know, a fruit ball or berries, just, you know, drizzle some raw honey on top. It's going to only enhance the absorbable sugar in it. It's going to only enhance your brain glucose. Another adrenal snack is apples, dates, and kale, grapes, banana, red leaf lettuce, cucumber, apple, cauliflower, watermelon is amazing. I recommend watermelon to my athletes, my clients who are athletes, as a great recovery and brain boost food. So these snacks and so much more are life savior, really, because it keeps your blood sugar steady between your larger meals of the day. So instead of being fearful of fruits and healing vegetables and fruits that are there for us to thrive, so instead of being fearful of that, I would absolutely recommend that you will start embracing those. They are here for us to thrive, and they are here for you to make sure that your brain is in the best shape of that it can be. All right, so I hope I was somewhat of help to those who struggle with eating disorders or need to know more about adrenal snacks. If you have any questions, you can email us at raisingthenewearthpodcast@gmail.com. Check out our YouTube channel or on Instagram. And that's it. So I'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Have a wonderful day, wonderful week, and we will talk with you soon.
Settle down your trouble. Let the morning breeze caress your desire. Every night, in my dreams I hope for future life invites our worlds to collide.